Last week we had talked about the rest of the Lord, you know, and how God tells us to rest, and that's one of his things he speaks highly to us about. And that's one of the things that how the enemy likes to not give us rest. The enemy likes to continue to stir us up and keep us going, because the enemy knows that God speaks about rest for our bodies and the importance of that. And we covered that last week about the immune system, our recovery, our mind, our brain, just everything and anything in our physical and emotional and our mental state is tied into rest. And your scientists and doctors of today will validate all of that. But way back when God put all this into operation, he already knew that people need to rest, need to find that time for your body. So we talked about that, and I want to just touch upon just briefly then some scriptures and talk a little about how God is wanting his people to rest, establish a rhythm of work and a rhythm of rest, rest and work, work and rest. I think in our days of today, it's easy to get into what? A rhythm of work, 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 work. We don't find that time of rest. And we find that in the time with that of the commandments that God gave. Talked about the day of rest. Keep the Sabbath. Keep it holy. This rest is a physical break from our labor, but it's a spiritual reliance upon him. Because if we don't think we've got to rest, we think we've got to do it all. We've got to keep it moving. We've got to sustain ourselves through the work and through go and going and doing. And God is saying, I have got this all set for you. You know, just rest into me. Do what I've asked you to do. You know, take 6 days and work it out. But even during those days of working, you've got to find rest within those days. You know, you find in some cultures to where they take a rest in the afternoon at 2 o'clock or 2:30 or whatever. And it's interesting, some of the studies in those cultures say it's an important thing for them and it's a good thing for the body. And I think we even read it now in our society to where they'll tell you take like a 10 or a 15 minute nap afternoonish. It does wonders for your body. It's just something that just helps within you. Now, it's not to become lazy. It's not to say, well, I'm not going to do anything. But it's to be attentive to your physical, your emotional, and your mental, and to realize that take a rest. It might just be to get away from your normal things. That's why, you know, in our jobs, they give you a lunch break. They give you a break in the morning, a break in the afternoon. But even in our society of today, people just work through their lunch hours. They work through their breaks because is it so much that they have to get done? I think sometimes it's just a driving force that it's like, it's hard for people to stay still. You know, you find some people that can't you just sit still for 15 minutes? Have you ever told that to your kids? Hey, settle down, sit, calm down. But I can't. It's like, just sit for 15 minutes, just 15 minutes. Then you can get up and run all you want. So it's kind of in our nature. We've kind of gone into those things. It's helping our spiritual reliance on him. It's an intendedness to rejuvenate us. We want to recognize that he provides for our needs. Even during our rest, he takes care of us. So the key aspects of the rest that we've talked about is that of the Sabbath commandment. God designated a day of rest. The Sabbath is what he had called it and labeled it for people to cease their work. It's an honor as a gift and a break from back in those days, the slavery. Work is slavery, if you think about it. It's like you got to work. Physical and mental health, God designed our human bodies to repair or require rest so that we can repair it and repair the thoughts, our brain, our muscles. It's our well-being, combating the need for constant anxious activity. I think we get ourselves keyed in. We got a lot of anxiousness, a lot of high strung, a lot of anxiety. The sad thing about it is we're finding that it's getting into the children. And a lot of the things in society now, they want to put them on some kind of medication. Now, there's probably some dietary things that have happened in our culture that's caused this. But There's a lot of things when you get kids in school now and they're rambunctious and they can't settle down. It's like, well, take them to the doctor and tell them they're ADHA or whatever, you know, like they can't settle down. Well, then they prescribe medication. So now we start, and, you know, there are needs out there. Not to say there's not, that maybe those things help for kids that necessarily have that. But I think it's a catch-all now that they just really want to put a pill in them and it'll calm them down. Well, then we just start slowly getting more and more and more. But we even find it down into our children. I think the children, we as kids, I remember we were probably go, go, get up and go. But back in our days, it was like we did a lot of things where we ran out in the morning after breakfast and we didn't come back maybe until lunch. Then we went back out and then we didn't come back until supper. And even after supper, we went back out playing to where when you got home at whenever the streetlights came on and 8, 9 o'clock in the summertime, you'd settle down a little bit, go to bed, you know, get ready for the next day. But we have a constant anxiousness, a constant activity within us all the time now. We find the spiritual rest in that of Jesus. Jesus invites the weary to find rest for their souls by trusting in him rather than in their own efforts. He's promised that, and we'll read this in Matthew 11, that his burden is light. It's like, oh, I can't serve God. He's going to require so much. It's going to require this. I'll never be able to rest. No, serve God and you'll find out. He'll say, you need to rest. We find that what Jesus invited that. Trusting God's provision, resting is a sign of faith. We trust you, God, that even as I rest, things will get accomplished. Or as I rest, you will help me with the other things I need to get done after this. I think we find a lot of times that we keep going, 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 thinking we're getting things accomplished. And I think you'll find a lot of times after a while, you end up making mistakes. Has that ever happened? Where you're just dog tired, but I got to get this done. I want to get this done. And you work through something and then you look at it going, uh-oh, I missed it by a little bit. You know, and now I got to go back and tear this out, take this apart, redo it, whatever the case might be. But we think we're getting ahead by pushing through, and actually you're losing ground. You're losing ground. So resting is a sign of faith, indicating the belief that God will take care of your needs, even when the work stops. The promise of soul rest. Scripture notes that true rest goes beyond sleep, offering peace of mind through that of a relationship with God. Can you see yourself in our society of today, and it's been like that since the creation, that if you can keep people so busy in doing, and that's why the devil likes that. If he can keep you so busy in doing, you're not focusing on God. You're not taking time to hear God. You're not taking time to reflect on his word. You're not taking time just to sit and be still before that of God. So we find that in Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11:28-30, it says, 38, no wonder, I'm trying to look, I go, my Matthew 11 stops at 30, it should have been 28. It's like, well, here it is, but that's not 30. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am a gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. When we look at this word, my yoke is easy, it's from a Greek word, but it denotes that which is useful, pleasant, good, comfortable, suitable, serviceable. In the times back in those days, and even today in some religious circles, we can get the legalistic religious system was a severe burden back then and even today sometimes. But service to Jesus does not cause that. The yoke back then would be put on that of a cow or something to a horse to help with the load that they were pulling the plow, and it was equaline and it was padded so it wouldn't hurt the animal. And so that's what, you know, with Jesus saying, take my yoke. Jesus doesn't straddle us with a lot of heavy things. You know, he wants to buffer those things for us. We can work and serve him, and it will be easy. when we look at this, types of the burdens that we may be carrying, what are those burdens that he could be talking about and we can look at today? Could be that of sin. Could be excessive demands of religious requirements. Matthew 23:4 says, let's look there. Matthew 23:4 says that for they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. And this is talking about woe to the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus is speaking in chapter 23 to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying that the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, and therefore whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do, and they do not. So they're telling you what to do, but they're not doing it. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay them on the men's shoulders. Jesus here is referring to their countless rules, the regulations in which they have. They've reduced religion to that of a burdensome and confusing system of ritual observances that kept people in perpetual bondage. We got that today. You can get into some religious circles, and there's just such a bondage on that. You know, when people say, well, I'm not very religious, I want to let them know I'm not religious either. I don't want to be religious. I want to be relational with that of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. And that's what he wants us to be, relational with him. Yes, God has given commandments. God has told us what sin is, what sin's not. We've got to follow those things. But we also understand that it's not difficult if we just allow God to have our being. If I surrender my will to him, he will work through these things. He will help me understand these things. So here we are in Acts 15:10. What did Acts 15:10 speak to that? 15:10 says, now therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Talking to the Jerusalem council. And this was conflicting over that of the circumcision of the people. Now the apostles in verse 6 of chapter 15, Acts 15:6, said that the elders came together to consider this matter. And when they were had much discussion, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by the mouth of the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we, in verse 11, believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. But here again, that yoke, the things that man, we can look at it as what man wants to put upon man. So we looked at that as, oh, Father, sin, excessive demands of religious requirements, oppressions and persecutions. What about our weariness in searching for God? Some people wear themselves out looking for God, and he's right there. They've made it such a challenge, and sometimes our religious circles have made it that way to make it a challenge to try to find him when he's really easy to be found. So that weariness in searching for God, Jesus will free us from these types of burdens. When we read rest, Jesus promises us love, healing, and peace with God. Love, healing, and peace with God. There isn't an end to all labor, but with God, he changes meaningless, wearisome toil into spiritual productivity and purpose. He's bringing us along the path. He's teaching us. He's showing us. He's directing us. And he's wanting us to learn by these things, by what he is taking us through. You folks are going to learn a lot, and you have learned a lot already. The things that God is going to bring you through in a upcoming move and a job and relocation and all these things. But it's not to be wearisome. It's not to be wore out. It's not to beat you down. But you're going to find rest in those things as you do it with the basis of that of God leading you and taking time. I know there's going to be a lot on your plate, but don't forget to rest too, you know, to have some time to be able to work through these things. All right. When you're at the peace of God, you should be able to sleep at any time. Boom! When people go to sleep at church, I usually just say, it just must be the presence of God, and it's just very peaceful here. We read in Psalms 46:10, to be still and to know that I'm God. You gotta be still to know that He's God, because if you're going to and fro, you don't even know which end is up. You don't even know where God is at, because you're running to and fro. But it says in Psalms 46:10, be still and know I am God. Be still is resting. Rest. I could say rest and know that I am God. In my resting times, I know that God is my God. Don't let the enemy go, well, you know, if you didn't stop, you would be how far along now? Because he'd always like to just keep prodding you along. In Psalm 62:1, truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Psalms is good for a lot of scriptures on David and explaining things, and others there, and Solomon and Proverbs, and all these things that we can read, and just Psalms and Proverbs about the things we do in life. In Exodus 20, verses 8 to 10, that's where you find it says, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. Sabbath was a day set aside for rest and worship. God commanded for us to take a Sabbath because we, man, woman, we need to spend unhurried time in worship and rest. Each week. I mean, we look at it now. I was hearing something even just last week on how many people, they don't even take their vacation time that their employer gives them because they feel like they can't do it. I don't know. Or I know the jobs put a demand upon us, but a lot of them, they don't even take they just rack up vacation time, sickness time, because it's like, oh, I got to go to work even sick. Well, you go to work sick and you infect the rest of the people. We learned that with COVID and all. Grandma, back in the days, used to have the answer. You got a fever and you're sneezing and you're coughing and you whatever, stay home. We go to work. Your coworker on the other side of the desk, on the other side of the room. What's going on? You know, we all like put our mask up like, gosh, why didn't you stay home? We didn't need the government to say that. That's common sense. But I know some of us feel, and in some instances, maybe our jobs make it feel that way and they don't want to give you that time and all that. I know there's a lot of things in the whole mix of things. But I think sometimes we feel like we've put a lot of importance on ourselves, thinking like, if I'm not there, everything's going to fall apart. Really? Really? No. But we have that drive. I just need to get there. I just need to get there. Well, I better be there than just sitting at home doing nothing. No! Stay home and do nothing and rest. Also have what Grandma said. Have some chicken noodle soup. Nothing like chicken noodle soup when you're sick. But we are in a hurried time. We need to spend time unhurried. We need to get that time of worship and just rest. We observe a regular time of rest and worship in this fast-paced life that we call life in this world. It shows how important God is to us. We put a lot of importance on our do, get this done, the world, the things going on in the world. But when we take time and step back and give that time to God, what we're doing is we're showing God that, God, you're important to me. It's important that I sit beside you. It's before you. It's good that I sit here, just do nothing but just look at the sky, look at the clouds, whatever the case might be. But it does show how important God is to us when we slow down to reflect upon Him. You know, sometimes we ask God to give us this and give us that and help me be a success and help me accumulate this and help me gain that. And God looks at that and he goes, but if I do all that, you won't have time for me then. Where do I fit into all of that? And God knows those things. So we've got to understand that. But we've got to let God know that he is important to us. And we do that by resting. We do that by taking that Sabbath. We do that by settling down for just a day, settling down for an hour a day, whatever the case might be even. It gives us that benefit of refreshing. And our spirits need to be refreshed. You cannot continue on without being worn out. You know, you even look at the mechanical things in life that we design and build. And after a mechanical thing has been used over and over and over, what happens to it? Breaks, wears out. How do they keep it, man? How do they keep that thing going? They take time, pull it out of production, and rebuild it, retool it, re-oil it, new bearings, new grease, new whatever, new rollers, all of these things. You know, if the things that we build need to be set aside and taken out of service for a while to replenish and rework and new grease, what makes us think that we is this body? And that's why I think a lot of our bodies break down as we just keep going. I think that we look around and, you know, our knees creak a little more and things of that nature. But if you sit and rest and think about it, in a day's time, how many times has your knee bent? When you get to be 50, 60, 80 years old, how many times has that joint bent? Elbow, wrist, finger. I mean, it's quite a marvelous, we are quite a marvelous thing with what we've got to work with. What about Psalms 127, verse 2 says, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Psalms 127, 2 has a heading in my Bible. It just says, laboring and prospering with the Lord. Laboring and prospering. Verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain, verse 2, for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he gives his beloved sleep. It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late. That tells me to get up and go, go, go from the time of the sun rising up, and you keep going after the sun goes down and the moon has come up, you know. It's not until 11 o'clock maybe you finally crash. So God isn't against our human effort. Actually, hardworking honors God. Proverbs 31:10 would tell us that. So God does reward those things. Proverbs 31:10 through 29. It's talking about the virtuous wife. We love to read that. Mother's Day is coming up next week. With the virtuous wife. You can read that, but it's talking about that. He loves us to work. He loves us, but hard work does honor God. When we're out working in our job, we ought to work that we're working for God. Yeah, we get a paycheck, but be a good Christian worker. Do your job well. Do your job efficient. When you're to be on the clock, work on the clock. When you're to take a break, take a break. Take 10, take 15, whatever the case might be. But when we work without taking rest, it may be us covering up our inability to trust God to provide our needs. See, we get into that like, oh, I've got to do this because I've got to provide for this, and I'm the only one that can do it, so I'm going to stay busy. And I end up beating my body down. I end up not being as productive. I end up, above everything else, losing my time with being with my God. Because we're so busy. If we're so busy, are you not trusting God to be there for you to take care of the things that you need? We each need adequate rest and times of, here again, there's a lot of this, spiritual refreshment. Spiritual refreshment. We need to be filled and refilled. We need to sit quietly. We need to be filled again. with that of the Holy Spirit to overflowing, to continually so that we can pour out, so that we can survive these days that we're in. So we need to continue to have a spiritual refreshment by that of reading God's Word, being in His presence, and to be still before Him, and to listen for that small, still voice of His. We must be careful to maintain a balance of work. Got to work, not to become lazy. You got to work. He that does not work will not eat. Things of that nature. Proverbs, we all read those things. But we have to have a careful balance of work and trusting God during the times that we are to rest. That He too will take care of our needs. Even when we're resting, He takes care of us. Isn't that nice of that? You know, even when we're resting, God doesn't. Because what does it now? God says in His Word that He never sleeps nor slumbers. Well, He's God. He doesn't need to. But even He put that Sabbath in, that seventh day. It wasn't for Him, it was for us. Because He knew how much man was going to need to take time away from the daily grind. But in reality, too, He wanted us to say, would you please take one day, Tim, and set it aside and spend it with Me, Your Creator, who has given you all of this, your house, your job, your home, your kids, all the food, whatever the case is, how He's, I have given you this now. Can't you just take time and be with Me? We look at that in the natural, even within our families, you know. Sometimes you get into a relationship of a husband and wife, and we call, whether it's the man or the woman, or it could be both, they get to become what we would call workaholics. Alcoholic, workaholic, foodaholic. Holic is just, it just overwhelms you. It just takes you over and possesses you. So we find in our homes and things back in the day, because we have to get ahead and we got to build this and build my future, that we have dads and mothers and too that become such a workaholic that they don't have the time to be there for their family. What happens then in those times of those families? We find separations and distancing within the families. We find divorces. We find family life not structured so well because dad is constantly working. He's never here. Well, mom is always out and working. She's not here. And mom and dad are both working. So now they're all and they're all on their own separate path going their way. And they're thinking like, we're making a better life for their family. And in reality, the enemy has you doing just what he wants you to do because he wants to destroy the family. But look what I've accumulated. Yeah, but if you've gained the whole world and lost your life, lost your salvation, lost what I've gotten for you, what have you really gained, Tim? Nothing. Many times people look around at all the things they have gotten and it gets to be pretty lonely because all that they were working towards to have for their family and to build what they wanted, their family is gone now. And it's like, well, that really went well. Remember, it's not to be lazy, it's not to work, but it's not to say your work runs and rules and has control of your life. I think that's how God is with us, like I with my kids now. I wonder if God wants to ever call Tim up. I wonder if Tim's available today. Oh, gee, God, I'd love to talk to you, but I got this going on. God would send back a text, nothing important, just wanted to shoot the fat with you, shoot the breeze with you. I think God is like that with His kids. And we got to remember that, and so we need to step back, not just with our families and kids and family members, but the things especially with that of God, to say, here I am, God. I'll sit down. Let's talk. I've said many times to where if I'm out here doing something and just get a bottle of water, a cup of coffee, and go sit out on the bench for 20 minutes, 30 minutes. What is it, God? What's the plans for this acreage? What's the plans for this place? What's the plans in the world? What? You know, what it is, Lord, or thank you, Lord. Or people's situations come in my heart to where I pray and lift them up to Him. And I'm sure you do the same thing. But it's just those times that we've got to be attentive to His ear or to His voice. And we've got to slow down. Slow down and smell the roses. Slow down. Smell the coffee. Maybe God needs to put some parameters in our spirit to where we feel like Oh, too much, Tim. You need to stop. Stop and rest. But we got to realize that he takes care of our needs even during those times of rest. In Mark 6:31, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Come with me by yourselves. Jesus was a busy guy. People, throngs of people, hundreds of people, hundreds would come. What are we going to eat? Set them on the hillside. We'll figure out something. But we read here, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. When we read this, that the disciples returned from their mission, Jesus did say, go out and do. We're to go and do. But then when we come back, Jesus took them away for a time of rest. Doing what God has asked us to do is very important. But to do it effectively, we even find Jesus recognizing that we need to have a time of rest and renewal. Jesus went away at times into the garden to have a prayer by himself in Gethsemane before the crucifixion. But even before that, when he was out and about, he would try to go up to the mountaintops just to rest, just to be away from the crowd and be with his Father. And that in his disciples in Mark 6:31. And he says to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest. My footnote here in this Bible says, Jesus withdrew with his disciples from the crowd in order to rest, to avoid the hostility of the Jewish religious leaders and the jealousy of Herod, and to teach them in solitude. This is in Mark when he talks about feeding of the 5,000. Jesus knew it was important. A couple of scriptures here. Mark 2:27. Let's kind of look at that, and that we'll kind of end it there. At the heading of verse 23, Mark 2:23, my Bible says, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. In verse 27, it says this, and he says to them, and this is, you know, they're trying to catch him in things and about the Sabbath and what's lawful on the Sabbath. But in verse 27, he says to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. God created the Sabbath for our benefit, not his. He derives no benefit from having us per se rest on the Sabbath, but we are, because when we are resting on the Sabbath, we are thinking of him and giving him our attention and taking in his teachings, taking in what he wants us to learn and to be a part of. But we are restored as well physically and spiritually when we do take this time of the Sabbath, when we take time to rest and to hear again, focus on God. God has so much for us. Let us not lose that. Let us not forget that. Let us make sure that he is front and center every day in our lives as we go about this life. Always remember that the devil is the one that wants to keep you busy. The devil wants to keep you busy even in sometimes churches doing things to where you're not really resting before that of God. You're just busy. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Psalms 37:7 in that is a command to be still, silent, and cease striving, trusting God's timing over anxious striving. It encourages believers not to fret over the temporary success of the wicked, but to trust in God's justice, provision, and ultimate vindication. But I like that, how we need to trust in his timing and don't become anxious. Don't keep striving. Don't try to strive it to make it work on your timetable. Rest in that of the Lord. Heavenly Father, as we find time throughout the day, Lord, your word is an encouragement to us. Your word is an instruction into our lives, Lord, of how you would like for us to live, how it guards us, how it helps us stay close to you. Lord, we need to understand, and we do, Lord, that the devil is in the busyness of things and keeping us so wrapped up that we even can't find a 10 minutes to focus on you. Lord, I pray through this time of learning about the rest in the Bible and how important it is and how you desire for us, and even command us to rest, that we will take it to heart, and that we will focus on it a little bit more than maybe what we've done in the past. And that, Lord, you will provide, and you'll take care of, and you will continue to help us. But, Lord, you want to hear from us. You love us. We love you. And so, Father, as we go out this day, help us continue to be walking in this understanding of your rest. Even when things are busy and we got to get things accomplished, that we will find time. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for being with us and helping us each and every day. I pray that you'll go with each and every one here today. Be a blessing, Lord, to them and continue to give them a great week ahead. We pray it and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.